Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
VolitionRx, a multinational epigenetics company revolutionizing cancer diagnosis with the development of simple, easy-to-use, cost-effective blood tests involving a range of cancers and other diseases. Volition's clinical trials in human health have shown promising results in detecting several cancer types, including colorectal, lung, and a variety of blood-borne cancers. VolitionRx. Web address, volition.com.
The proceeding may contain forward-looking statements which may not be realized.
World. I'm John Batson with Tom Standage. He is the editor of The Economist's The World Ahead 2022, 10 things to watch out for that we may have an answer to a year from now or not. Crypto, much in the news because of Bitcoin, and it's skyrocketing and then it's plunge and then it's skyrocketing. But there are many other cryptocurrencies being invented all the time, and crypto services. What are they is not the pursuit. The question is, what will they become? Because right now there's a contest, if I understand correctly, between people who identify with DeFi, people who identify with central banks, and then there's the world of technology that doesn't count on a lack of reality to exchange goods. Tom, this is such a tangle, I can't summarize it other than the fact that The Economist had a spectacular auction recently of one of your cover illustrations about Alice in Wonderland and the rabbit plunging down the rabbit hole with cryptocurrencies. It was a great success, and none of that is possible without crypto. Is that the way forward in 2022? Make crypto work for us.
It's one of the possible ways forward. So what we tend to see with disruptive technologies is that, you know, the people who first adopt them become very messianic about them. And they're like, this is going to change everything. It's going to blow up everything. It's going to change the world. And what tends to happen is that these exciting new technologies end up being domesticated. They end up being tamed. And the incumbent, the old-fashioned way of doing things, sort of reaches some accommodation with the new way of doing things. And we're seeing that happen in the world of finance now. And essentially, we've got three possible ways forward from the sort of old-fashioned way of doing things. One of them, yes, is the sort of blow everything up, do everything with blockchains, DeFi, so decentralized finance, crypto blockchain sort of crowd. And they're like, this is the way forward, this is the answer. Unfortunately, cryptocurrencies are really terrible as actual money. I mean, if you ever try to buy anything with one, it's hopeless. So you know, jury's still out on that one. Then you've got the tech companies saying, well, look at what happens with the big super apps, as they're called, in Asia, in China in particular, but in other parts of Asia too. You have these big tech firms that have super apps that are simultaneously social networks. You can often order food through them, you can do shopping through them, you can hail a ride, and then they're also payment systems. So the big ones are WeChat Pay and Alipay in China, but there are others as well. Facebook very much wants to imitate that, which is why it's working towards launching its own form of digital money. And then you've also got sort of startups who are trying to undermine the traditional banks, neobanks as we call them, and they are essentially taking a sort of fairly straightforward tech industry startup playbook to saying we can do better than these big boring banks. So you've got people like Venmo and PayPal and so on. And then you've got the central banks themselves, and the central banks themselves are saying, well, hang on a minute, maybe we should be issuing digital coins here instead of having some tech company do it like Facebook that we can't control, or having some decentralized bunch of people with a blockchain. Why don't we just create our own kinds of digital money, what's called a central bank digital currency? This would give central banks some amazing powers. They'd be able to monitor the economy much more effectively. They'd be able to provide stimulus funds like we just had to in the pandemic crisis much more efficiently, because they could literally just fire money at people's central bank accounts. We would all end up with bank accounts at our central banks. And they could also do things like reduce interest rates to below zero much more easily, because they would be controlling the system and they wouldn't be reliant on the retail banks in the middle. So I think we're, you know, those are all, those are quite plausible. And I think we'll probably end up with, yes, we'll have some people using crypto and crypto will do new things. But I think we'll, as we've seen in many examples in the history of technology before, have some sort of compromise between the radical new way of doing things and the boring dinosaurish old way.
Geoengineering. This is my favorite of your items, Tom. This is about climate change. What is geoengineering? And then we'll move on after we scare people.
Sure. So geoengineering is basically using engineering to change the climate. Now, obviously, we've already done that because the Industrial Revolution and all of the emissions we've been putting into the atmosphere for the last 250 years have changed the climate. But what if you used engineering to deliberately try to change it back again? There are various ways you could do that. You could try to build big machines that suck carbon dioxide out of the air directly, and there are people working on that. But the one to keep an eye on next year is this idea called solar geoengineering. And this is essentially where you imitate a volcano. And when we know that when volcanoes go off, they put lots of dust and ash into the atmosphere. That blocks out the sun, and we get a few years of cooling. So when Pinatubo erupted, the world was about half a degree cooler for about 4 years. So if you used aeroplanes or balloons and you sprayed dust or chemicals into the stratosphere, how much cooling would you get? And could we use that to buy a bit more time to cut emissions? Because we don't seem to be on track to cut emissions fast enough. So this is not an alternative to cutting emissions. It's a way of basically buying more time. This is hugely controversial for obvious reasons.
Well, obvious reasons, yes.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, firstly, you could use this as an excuse to say, well, let's all go and burn the oil then.
Right, if we
can just turn the thermostat on the earth down a bit. Another big problem with it is that if you did start to alter the climate in this way, it would affect weather patterns, that would affect where rain falls, it would affect harvests. Basically, there would be winners and losers. And, you know, you'd get some countries whose agriculture would collapse because of this, and they would say, this is, a price not worth paying. So this is very, very controversial. And what the group at Harvard that is trying to research this wants to do, they want to do a tiny experiment, literally with one balloon and 2 kilograms of dust. So we're talking about a very, very small amount here, but they want to start measuring how quickly the dust disperses, what the effect is, and so on. And they're saying, look, it's not the case we should necessarily do this, but if we are going to be backed into if we're going to paint ourselves into the corner where we do have to resort to this, then we should at least know how it works so that we don't get it wrong. And a lot of people have sympathy for that view, which is that, you know, we need to understand this process in case we end up having to use it as a last resort, and therefore some research into it is justified. So there's going to be a big argument about this. I mean, it's been going on for a while, but there's going to be potentially an even bigger argument about this going on next year, because people are getting increasingly worried about this mismatch between the problems that we see all around us with climate change getting worse and the striking lack of urgency that seems to prevail among policymakers.
We just have a minute left, Tom, and I want to get all the items checked off. Travel trouble. The business class subsidizes the tourist class. Also, every time I take a trip from now on in an airplane, I wonder if it's justified because of what that means for greenhouse emissions. Space races, yes, of course. Is there now a space station gap? Do you see commercial space station filling the skies, or ambition to fill the skies in the next year? We have 30 seconds, Tom.
China's going to try and build a space station next year just to show it can, but I think the interesting thing is what's going to happen in the next decade with private space stations, because there are going to be some.
And political football. So Winter Olympics are upon us. Lordy, lordy, lordy. You also mentioned all of the vaccines and the development give us hope. Is that where we want to go in 2022? Dare we risk the word hope, Tom? Is it too dangerous to use it?
Well, I think I am hopeful. The fact that we were able to develop these new vaccines very, very quickly after the sequencing of the virus gives me hope that we can use technology to change the world for the better in other ways too, particularly on climate. So fingers crossed.
Yes, fingers crossed. But back to geoengineering. That's a wow, Tom. That's got my attention. I'm looking for the Economist magazine covers that show what the Earth looks like after we've engineered it. This is wonderful. Tom Standage is the editor of The World Ahead 2022. We will visit again in a year's time and see what we're worried about and what we're smiling about. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.